It's Easter Sunday. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. This is Stories and Stuff. I'm Joy Bubbles, your storyteller in Minneapolis, the land of cold weather and warm hearts. It has been kind of cold the last few days. Well, I've got two Easter stories about a turnpike and a truck tire. Back in 1954, would you believe there was still road rage even back then? Maybe it wasn't what it was now. But my father was driving us either to or from the blind school in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, St. Mary's Institute for the Blind. I forget whether we were going to there or coming home from there, but we were on the New Jersey Turnpike, and there was this guy that decided, Daddy doesn't know why, decided he had it in for my father. He would try to crowd Daddy off the road and kind of pull out across his lane and then pull back in at the last minute and flash his, turn on his bright lights in Daddy's eyes, all sorts of things, and sometimes just blow the horn and all sorts of stuff, and sometimes kind of come in behind Daddy very, very close and touch bumpers or something, and just, I don't know what the problem was, and Daddy never knew either. Finally, he did something and crowded Daddy off the road where he had to pull over and stop. And he came up and said, get out of the car. And my father wouldn't, and he said, I'm going to drag you out and break you to pieces and leave you on the road to stink. And at 4 years old, that kind of scared me real good. He was very loud and mean-sounding. And I didn't know what might happen to my father. And one of my imaginary friends, they were pretty real back then, a little man came in the window, invisible, of course, and said to me, well, don't talk to the man, but talk to your father and ask him if he's ready for his gun. Of course, my father didn't actually have a gun, but I don't know. It became real. Somehow it got so real to me, I smelled gun oil, which I don't even know how I knew about, and I felt the heaviness of it in my hand, and just knew it was right in the glove compartment, which we called the dash. And so I said, Daddy, want me to get your gun? And Daddy didn't say anything at first. I'll get it out of there if you want it. And so I reached towards the dash, and I said, oh, you must want that bigger one under the seat. Okay. And so I bent down and started reaching under there. And the man started yelling, well, I'll get you good next time. I'll break you to pieces, I promise. You're not going to see the end of me. And he jumped away, ran, and jumped in his car and screeched his wheels and drove away. And we never saw him again. And, well, Daddy had to go in, stop somewhere, calm down. And I remember he got me some Truaid. It was an orange drink that I used to like then. The bottle was a nickel. He pulled in something like a gas station or something. And I said, the whole bottle for me? And he said, yeah, I think you're worth a nickel, honey. Didn't you know? You knew we didn't have a gun. Well, kind of. I knew before and I know now. But right then, I was sure you did somehow. And whatever it was, back then it chased the man away. Might not work now. The guy might have had a bigger one than we supposedly did, but it worked then, back in 1954, when I was 4 years old, and it gave Daddy a story to tell at a lot of his meetings, and where he'd be talking to his boss, and bragging about me and my sister. So, that was near Easter, in 1954. Now, there was another Easter that I'll never, never forget. It was in 1957, and that one came on April 21st. I remember that day. That was a Sunday, but it wouldn't get there until I got through the horribly dreaded April 16th. That was the worst number in the world right then, because that's the day, a Tuesday morning, when we had an appointment with Dr. Roos. Dr. Roos just wasn't an ordinary doctor. He was the worst, the scariest, the most horriblest, terriblest kind. He was a dentist doctor. I think he actually was real nice, but I'm not so sure because I was so scared of him. When he'd say, this won't hurt, it would really, really hurt back then. I guess dentists have improved a lot since 1954, I've heard. But, or 1957, rather, when this was, where we lived in Massachusetts at the time. Well, the nicest thing is, Mother wasn't even waking up. She was sleeping late, and I had a chance to miss the appointment. But I finally got the nerve up to wake her up and say, Mommy, it's the day of our dentist appointment. We had to go. I figured might as well get it over with, because if I could get over it with, over that, I would have clear sailing to Easter. And Mother let us come home afterwards and stay home from school, because I was pretty pretty upset after going to the dentist. But I stayed in bed the rest of the day. And then I knew after that it was clear sailing to the 21st, because that Easter, I had asked the Easter Bunny for what I wanted the very, very, very most, a big truck tire. Down in the basement, I had a lot of car tires to play with. I loved rolling them around and spinning them and all kinds of things. I just loved tires, but I had never seen a truck tire. And Daddy said he wasn't sure if I would get one. He wasn't sure if the Easter Bunny could carry something that big and heavy, because he was used to just Easter baskets and eggs. But I said, but Daddy, he has to carry thousands and thousands of kids' Easter baskets, and that gets pretty heavy by itself. Daddy said, maybe you're right. We'll just have to wait till Easter and see. So Easter morning, I went and, to the table in the living room, and it was just an Easter basket sitting there. Nothing else but Easter candy, a lot of bunnies and marshmallow peeps and all kinds of stuff. My sister got the bunnies because I don't like chocolate, and I had tons of marshmallow peeps and cookies and a little pieces of angel food cake shaped like a bunny that Mother molded somehow. But I went in the kitchen. And even before I got to the kitchen counter, the sink, I smelled rubber. And I said, there's something different about this kitchen smell. And I walked over to the counter, and it was as high as the kitchen counter, a huge tire. It was my truck tire that I had been waiting for. I couldn't even believe it. It had big upraised letters that I could feel, too. I'll never forget. Firestone, I remember, and gum-dipped rubber. Oh, was that wonderful, feeling that tire for the first time. And then up on the kitchen sink, just near the tire, was some car parts. Daddy later told me it was a fuel pump and a water pump, because I always loved to play with car parts. Well, the thing of it is, at 5 in the morning, for some reason, Mother wasn't awake yet. So how to get the truck tire down the basement? Well, it was pretty simple. Just roll it down the steps, you know. And so I did. It would have been real good if I would have let go of the tire just a little bit earlier before it started to roll. Because, you know, I was not quite 7. Almost 7. And frankly, no, I was almost 8, I guess. Frankly, that tire was a little stronger than I was. I don't remember being pulled down the basement steps and crashing hard against the cement floor. But a little while later, I kind of found myself there after I got myself together. As I laid there, I heard the most crunching rumpus you could imagine. I mean, as that tire rolled, it had gotten momentum from those big basement steps. It shook the whole house, you know. It was wood floors and everything in Saugus, Massachusetts, where we lived. And as it rolled, it knocked over a table with all sorts of screws and bolts, and they flew all over the place. It crushed a toy telephone. It was a big metal came, it rolled on and knocking stuff over, big old flower pots and everything that was stored down there. It was making more racket. Finally, it got to the end of the long basement, hit the wall, and bounced back and started to roll some the other way, knocking some other stuff down in its backtrack, and then fell over. But it didn't just fall over, ka-plock, ka-plock, ka-plock. I mean, you know, it made just quite a crunching rumpus. And finally, I was able to get up and come up the basement stairs, finding out I could still walk and everything. But when I moved my right arm down near the wrist, it felt like an electric shock almost. It hurt. I mean, really, really bad. Nothing like I had ever felt in my life. And I said, oh boy, I don't know how I'm going to keep this secret from Mommy. Because I didn't want her to tell me, I didn't want to tell her that the truck tire broke my arm, you know. And maybe her take the tire away from me. But I waited all day. It didn't seem real that I really had my truck tire, but boy, every time I'd start to move that arm, it would just be unbelievable pain. Finally, I got an idea. I went outside and dropped one of my gloves on the rock fence that I played at and stuff out in the yard, and then said, Mommy, I fell on the rock fence and hurt my arm really, really bad somehow. And so we went to the hospital. Daddy went out and found the glove and made it look like I was out there. And I still wonder years later, did they really know about the basement and the tire and just, you know, didn't tell me and, you know, let me get away with that story I made up? I don't know. Well, we went to Melrose Hospital, and that's when I learned about a cast, and it kind of scared me because the plaster was warm when they put it on my arm. And then they gave me a sling that said Melrose Hospital and said I'd wear that for a while, and then they'd take the cast off, and my arm would be as good as new. Well, I went to school the next morning, and usually at school, just, you know, I either sat alone or me and my sister sat together if, you know, when we were both in school. And this time, though, all those kids that usually passed me by, what happened to your arm? And I said, oh, I was rolling a truck tire down the basement stairs, and I didn't let it go soon enough. And they didn't really believe me. And I said, yeah, it's a big truck tire, taller than you. And so they were signing my cast. They were coming up there, and one kid came over that afternoon to see that tire. Because he said, I bet you there's no tire there. But when he saw it, he went over and was talking to everybody in the school the next day, knew that I really did have a tire that big that was taller than him. And that day, I had, like, I think Mother counted 43 or 44 names on my cast. And for the whole rest of that school year at Roby School, I always had tons of kids wanting to sit by me more than could, because I was the guy that had that broken arm because of the truck tire. And that's one way to make friends. I don't recommend, there's probably some better ways of making friends and influencing people to sit by you at lunch, but that one at least worked. The table was full. And so I just got some advice, some Easter advice. If you're 7 years old and get a truck tire for Easter and want to roll it down the steps, either just, like, be patient and wait for your parents up, or maybe while you're on level ground, give it a push and let go of it real fast. Because that thing, when it starts to roll, and if you're still holding on to it, it's not going to, you know, let's just say it was bigger than I was. Well, anyway, happy Easter week, everybody, and take care of yourself and take care of each other. Stay strong and find some time to play, and be careful about those arms and everything. Bye for now. At the